Because confidence is so crucial when it comes to sales. So many people just focus on the process. Then you got confidence, then you got rapport, then you got enthusiasm. Like, you can nail the process. If you fall short on these other three, your sales conversions are going to be low.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm unbelievably excited, jazzed up, energized to have my guest on. I'm with Josh Smith, real estate professional in Arizona. Josh is going to talk to us today all about the things you need to do to ensure that you're preparing for the current, but also for the long term. So Josh, welcome to the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm excited to be here, man.
So we always start the show the same way. Josh, tell us, how long have you been in the industry and how did you get started?
Yeah, so just over 18 years, got started 23 years old, you know, young punk college dropout kid. You know, I was in the gym business prior. My dad owned and operated gyms for 30 years. I was in management and sales. And I made the realization that, man, for the amount of money I want to make, I need to be in ownership. Wow, 23 years old, college dropout, $1,000 to my name. You know, the facility I wanted to create was going to cost like 800 grand. I'm like, okay, I can't have the cap or nobody's going to give me a loan. I wouldn't give me a loan either. You know, it's pretty high risk. But at that time, 2005, the real estate market out here in Phoenix, it was the biggest boom we'd ever seen. So it's very similar to like 2021, you know, 2020, that kind of time frame. So my perception was everybody in this industry is just crushing and killing it. So like, all right, man, I love people. I love sales, love working my ass off. So let me just jump into real estate, go raise a bunch of capital, go buy my gym. But very quickly, I just became infatuated with this industry, man. Very quickly, really, health clubs became my passion, where this business became my obsession. I just fell in love with it. And 18 years later, here I am.
Well, I think that's a huge point. Like, I know I'm a huge fan of like the Micro Dirty Jobs podcast. And he talked about this idea that in order to be successful in any industry, you do need to turn it from, you need to turn it into a passion. And I know you mentioned that it became your obsession. Right. And when you're obsessed with something and when you're doing it all day long because you genuinely enjoy it and you're not just trying to get a paycheck out of it, you tend to do better in it. And I think that's almost like your initial lesson for agents, salespeople listening to this right now. Like, do you feel that real estate is your passion or is it just what you're doing to make some money? Because even though now we're seeing agents getting out of the business for the first time in 20 years, there are so many people still getting into the business, and a lot of them come in initially for the money, but those who do well tend to develop a passion and an obsession for it. So I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah. So if I can just say one thing there, because please. You know, a lot of people will be like, well, they wait for the feeling to come in. It's like they wait for this, you know, one day I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to be on fire about this thing. No, like, you've got to create the fire. You know, so it's one of these things where, man, like, you know, you, in order to, like, it's your choice to become obsessed. It's your choice to become passionate. You know, so I didn't become obsessed with this industry until I realized, hey, this is the best vehicle that I've been able to identify on the planet for me to go out there and create the life that I truly want to create for myself and for my family. You know, I mean, there, don't get me wrong, dude. There was a time where I enjoyed working with buyers and sellers. And then there was a time where I freaking hated it, you know, where it just became so repetitive. I mean, you were doing 6 listing presentations every single day, you know, 7 days a week back. Like, you get to the point where you're like, okay, like, you get burnout, you get those things. The obsession came in of like, I've never seen a better vehicle to go from zero to hero in 6 months, to create more opportunities, endless opportunities, you know? So again, it's that obsession and that passion, that drive that so many people want. It's got to be internally created. I mean, some people might just have it innately, but for most, it isn't. And for me, it wasn't. You know, like, you, just like anything, like discipline, I mean, it's a muscle that can be built.
Well, I love that. So walk us through your first couple of years in the business. Like, you were a new agent once too. How did your first couple of years go? And then where did it lead to? What did your team do in production last year? Let's end it with that one.
Yeah. So first year did 48 deals. Now I get a lot of people that ask me like, man, how, you know, I did 48 deals, $280,000. And I mean, that was gross income, but I wasn't spending any money. So most of that was net. But you know, you got to also remember I had 9 years of a sales background, you know, before I got into real estate. So, you know, I started selling memberships for my dad at 14 years old and upselling personal training packages. So I already had the human connection, that rapport process down, that, you know, it was just, instead of selling, you know, health club memberships and personal training package, now I'm just selling people on the fact that I'm the best guide to get them from the current living situation that they want to go to. So,
well, it's easier to sell yourself than any other product, right? Like, when you're a realtor, you're not necessarily selling the home, you're selling yourself first. And if you can sell a gym membership, insurance, XYZ product, it's more fun and it should be easier to sell yourself as long as you have a little bit of confidence and a good pitch.
Yeah, because people already sold on real estate and it's not our real estate to sell. It's somebody else's real estate, right? Again, we're just selling them that we're the best guide to get them from here to here. Your current living situation they want to get to. And it was a grind, man. I mean, I was popping out 4 to 5 open houses every single week to go out there and do that kind of business. And then though, I wanted to double my business going into my second year, but I quickly realized, because in 2005, things were different. We didn't have smartphones. We didn't have freaking scanners. We didn't have DocuSign. It just took longer to do each deal. So I want to double my business, but I couldn't fathom on how to come close to even doing that. I mean, I was already, I was working like 4 a.m. to midnight, right? With the deals that I was doing. So then I knew that I had to delegate. So I hired my first assistant going into my second year. And then that skyrocketed me up to 103 deals. Then from there, I was able to delegate all my essential non-money making activities. So I focused all my time on just money making activities. Then from there, it got to the point where, man, I was like 3 weeks booked out for any clients. So I was losing business. So that's when I started adding agents, and originally my team was, my agents were handling my overflow different than kind of your standard team today. And then if you look at fast forward, I mean, we sold 7,000 homes now. Last year did 4.7 million in GCI, unit count was just over 500 units. I don't have the exact unit in front of me, but, just over 500 units, 4.7 million GCI.
Congrats. I mean, those are some absolutely huge numbers. And especially considering that the last half of last year wasn't necessarily like a record breaking year again.
Oh, dude, now,
in your market, what is the average price point and how many agents do you have on your team?
Yeah. So, got 35 full-time agents right now on the team. And then we have some part-time as well. Got 2 full-time transaction coordinators, listing coordinator, office manager, and then a recruit agent, kind of recruiter slash trainer. So that's team makeup. Our average price point, average price point is just above $500,000. My average team price point's about 450. We've always really focused like up until the last couple of years, man, most of my career has been spent slinging $200,000 to $300,000 properties. Yeah. I've always focused on that, kind of average price point. That's always turning, man. People are always buying. People are always selling because I've always enjoyed the volume game. I've looked at it. Okay. I could go the luxury game, but those deals are few and far between, where it's like, what are those price points where the mat meets the masses, right? I would rather have 50 deals closing consistently each and every month than 2 big ones, because when you have 5 of those fall, 5 deals fall out, it's just like, okay, well, I got these other 45, left, right? Like it just, to me, it creates more consistency. It's easier to delegate. It's easier to go out there and kind of build a system around.
Real estate has a lot of contracts. I want this podcast to have a social contract as well. Here's what I need from you. If you're listening to the show and you get something valuable out of it, or you hear something that you think that's awesome, I want you to send me a DM on Instagram, or if you find my email, send it that way. The more feedback that I get helps me to put together better shows and attract better guests. Well, and talk about consistency in building a business and not just being a real estate agent who sells a couple houses when their friends call. You have this database now of 7,000, maybe it's 4,000 people, but you've sold a couple of them, a couple houses. That's a lot of people. And so when you look at the fact that real estate agents operate in an area, right? Like you operate in a 25 neighborhood range, or maybe in a tri-city area. That's a decent market share. And these people know people. So when you market to them, you can market to them for their own business. You can market to them for referrals. You can market to them to see what other businesses they can connect you with. You have so many things you can do, and you can consistently count on them for X amount of business per year. I think NAR typically says that an average realtor closes 7% of their database in a good year, 5% in a bad year. Right. So call it a good year, call it a bad year. 7,000, 5%. That's a lot of deals. It's 350 deals.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you have, whether it's 0 agents or 30 agents on your team, that's still over a deal per month per agent if you're just focusing on your database and nothing else. I love that. So with all of these agents, I'm assuming you probably have some really good systems on your team for how you train them up to make sure that they're not a waste of your time and that they have some success for themselves. So what is your training process? Cause I know it's pretty tried and true at this point.
Yeah, man. One of the mistakes that I've seen so many make in this industry, and I continue to see it it's just the biggest mistake that I see new agents make out of the gate. Let's just say that, is that they don't put the foundations. They just jump in and they start going fast. They just start going after deals. And it's like, look, let's just slow down a little bit. So then that way you can go that much faster, right? To get those foundations in place. You know, so our first 14-day onboarding process, when we bring in somebody new, it's about getting those foundational items in. You know, so what are those foundational items? All right, number one, we make sure that their tracking system is set up. When you said earlier, you know, treating this as a business, you don't need to have a team or a brokerage to be treating this as a business. You might be the solopreneur, but you need to treat this as a business. You're just wearing all the hats. But it is a business. You are an entrepreneur. You got to operate in this industry as, man, I'm a business owner. Real estate just happens to be the vehicle that I'm an entrepreneur within. You know, what do smart operators do? Man, they know their data. They operate system. You know, they have a process and system-based business that eventually allows them to continue growing, scale, and plug in the right people.
I always say, like, if you're an agent and you're looking, because this advice, by the way, I want to make this super clear. This is not just advice that you need to listen to if you're growing a team. This is advice you need to examine your business with and say, you know, you might be in the business for a year or two. You might be brand new. Do you have the metrics to answer key business decisions? And think about it. Like, if you were at any other company in the world in any other field, what would be the questions that your boss would be asking you, right? Like, it would be, how many leads did you get a month? How many closings did you have? What were your costs? What were your expenses? What was your time? How much, what did you spend your time on? If you can't answer these questions in about 5 seconds about any key area of your real estate business, you need to reexamine your foundation. And Josh is obviously training his new agents from day one on building that foundation, but I think existing agents need to really examine whether they can truly answer those questions for themselves.
Yeah, 100%. So we, you know, step number one, we get that tracking system in place, exactly what you were talking about. So we can see how many leads per lead source, but then how much also effort. So how many reach outs, conversations, appointment set, appointment conductions, clients. So then we can see that full picture, you know, because then
I have to pause you again right there, because that's groundbreaking, because people don't do this. You're not just tracking the results. You're tracking what you're putting into the system in the funnel. Because at the end of the day, especially for a new agent, it doesn't necessarily matter how many closings you get in your first month. That's cool. It's money. We need money. But what's more important is the outcome, or is the outputs that you're putting into the system. How many calls did you make? How many emails did you send? How many break breads did you do? How many people did you meet? How many drive-bys did you do? If you track those, we can make some predictions on results, and your coach, your manager, your broker can help you figure it out. But I love that you're tracking that and holding your agents accountable to what they're putting in, their daily activities, because that's almost more important than any other business data that I could think of.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, when I have one of my agents reach out to me at once, you know, one-on-one strategy session, first thing I do is, dude, show me your tracker and is it up to date? Because if you don't have your tracker up to date, it's like, dude, I mean, what are we going to do? We're just going to guess and throw a bunch in a good ball and hope something sticks. Like, the only way for me to truly help them is to know what their data is. And in order to improve upon anything, you have to have a measurement system in place. So we get that in place. Then step number two is we make sure that their CRM is dialed in. When I say dialed in, we make sure, okay, all their, you know, lead sources are plugged in. We make sure that their autoresponders, their drips are set up so we can rely on automation as much as possible. And make sure that they know it enough to start using it. So I don't expect anybody to master this stuff in 2 weeks, but they know it enough to start navigating, start using, and start living in that system. Then the next step is we make sure that they've got their listing and buyer presentation dialed in. And again, when I say dialed in, I don't expect mastery, but let me even go a step further than this. How do we get it dialed in the first 3 weeks? Well, number one, why we provide them with world-class proven listing presentation, buyer presentation, but they need to go out there and practice it. So I have them rehearsing it 3 times a day, each day for that first 14 days. And at that point, it's pretty damn good. Well, it's good enough where, you know, I mean, we spend so much insane amount of time generating leads and following up with those leads to just get that appointment. That amount of work is so insane, but we can't afford to flop those appointments. So it's got to be good enough where they can turn that person into a client or do a decent job at it and have a good chance at it. Then we make sure that their past client repeat referral game is dialed in, their strategy is dialed in. And again, we provide them the strategy, but we got to make sure they understand it. They know what to do, how to do it. You know, it's always the, you know, what to do, you know, when to do it, you know, why to do it, you know, how to do it. And then provide them the tools and the systems and the processes to, you know, to execute on that.
So when these agents initially do step one and they get their list of people in the CRM system, what other than, like, you know, the spam emails here or there, what actual activities are you recommending that they do with the people once they're in the database? Because I think a lot of people are, you know, step good agents get a database going, and then great agents come up with a strategy for what to do with it.
Yeah. So, you know, and it differentiates. I mean, it's, you know, because in our CRMs, I mean, we're working all of our leads. We're working all of our clients, all of our under contracts, all of our past clients, and our sphere of influence. So each one dictates a different strategy. But to your point, the system itself, I look at, okay, a CRM is like the cookbook, right? Then from there, the cookbook is only as good as the recipes inside that cookbook. So you've got to go out there. Like a CRM alone is not going to do you any good. It's like, what are the recipes? What are those instructions that you're feeding it? So let's just say, okay, with a paid, like if they're doing Facebook lead generation, okay, well then boom, that Facebook lead automatically comes in, automatically poured it into the CRM, gets an autoresponder email, autoresponder text. We have it automatically queued off and set and started on a 1,000-day email text strip campaign, automatically starts tasking my agents to call them. So we call day one, then every other day for the first 14 days and every 21 days for that first year until communication expectations have been established. And we know what their timeline is, then it adjusts from there. Then we, you know, set them up on our instant property alerts. You know, so we want to automate as much of that as possible, but even the reminder tasks, you know, so like with my agents, it's like, look, do we have so many other things to think about. So we let our system just tell us, hey, here's who you got to call. Here's exactly what to say. I mean, I even write it out in the system where it's like, dude, if you get them on the phone, say this. If you have to leave voicemail, here's the voicemail to go out there and leave, you know, so it eliminates every element of guesswork. So in that strategy can differentiate, you know, based on, is it my sphere of influence? Is it past clients? Is it, you know, like it just is, and even each lead source, man, how I follow up with an expired or a FSBO or an open house lead, you know, or a YouTube lead or a Facebook lead or a Zillow lead, all of those need, I mean, there's going to be some similarities, but all of them dictate a different strategy because they all have different timelines and different psychology per lead source.
Yeah. So I think the big thing, the big takeaway there is that for every category of someone in your CRM system, agents need to have a plan, right? Like whether it's a certain number of calls, texts, emails, tasks. And I think this is where people get confused because people put someone in their CRM and they think, these are the people that I'm going to send spammy texts, calls, and emails to for the next year. But really, you can program your CRM in a much more customer service-centric way to remind you to task with a task for you to reach out and personally call. And then you can have the scripts in there if you want to use them, or you can wing it a little bit more. But it's having that plan. And I think most agents really lack creating that plan for every lead type. They just say, oh, I'm going to call everyone a couple times a year that's in my database. But you need different types of calls for different types of lead contacts and a different cadence, right? Like that Facebook lead, you know, that's a garbage lead unless you call them 100 times. But yeah, the person who bought a million dollar house from you, you need to personally connect with them 4 to 5 times a year in a meaningful way. I think that's absolutely huge.
Elaborate on that, Matt, because I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of those of you that are watching or listening to this, that sounds like a lot, and it is, you know, you eat an elephant one bite at a time, you know? So it's like, yeah, you know, you're always refining these, you're building them out. Like people ask me, how'd you come up with 1,000-day email text strips? I'm like, I block off 20 minutes a day and just, you know, write 2 new emails, 2 new text messages. Well, that's maybe 3 weeks worth of drip data. And, you know, but here's the thing is, look, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's so many other badass top producers in this industry that have had great success with whatever lead source you're, whatever strategy you're trying to deploy. You know, the first question I ask myself when I'm doing anything new is, who do I need to go to? Who do I need to study? You know, who do I need to reach out to that's already got this thing dialed in? Like, why am I going to go out there and try to, you know, spend the years of figuring this stuff out? Because here's the cool thing that I found is most top producers in this business, because they wouldn't be where they're at if they didn't have amazing people help them along their journey, most of them will jump on a phone call with you or just tell you exactly what they do. Like, so don't be afraid to reach out. Go find out who is slaying it, who is crushing it with that thing. Reach out to them. Worst thing they're going to do is say, no, I'm busy, or not respond. Best case, and in most situations, I find this to be true, where they're willing to jump on the phone. They're willing to help you. They're willing to tell you and break down their exact strategy, right, to eliminate that guesswork. So you don't have to go out there and figure all this stuff out on your own, man. I call R&D, rip off and duplicate. You know, it's like when people are like, oh, you're so good at this stuff. I'm like, no, I'm just a very good pirate.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's why we have this podcast, because we know that like people don't view people in other cities and markets as competitors, right? Yep. Like it's a referral opportunity. It's a relationship opportunity. So for someone to listen to the show and say, you know what, I'm just going to pick up the phone or send Josh Smith an Instagram message and ask him, how do you do this? What did you say? What was the process? It takes 2 seconds to answer that. And then you've now set yourself up, both of you, to have a referral source in XYZ city, state, around the country. I mean, there's so many reasons that networking with other agents is helpful, especially if you're a new agent with no assets. Find an existing agent to partner with. steal all their stuff, but also help them. Like, yeah. New agents have time, existing agents have money in a database. I mean, that couldn't be more well-aligned, and that's probably why teams got started in the first place. Well, Josh, another huge thing you told me when we did our pre-call is that you force your new agents, not at gunpoint, but like, you know, you work out a lot, so at, you know, muscle gunpoint, to really develop a market knowledge of the areas that they plan to serve. Tell me more about that, because I think that is something that, especially from like buyers and sellers that I've worked with, they think that's missing in a lot of the new realtors out there. They just don't seem to have that market knowledge that an existing realtor might develop over 20 years. How are you helping speed up the process of market knowledge for your agents?
Yeah. So with our brand new agents, our local market expertise strategy, it's twofold. Okay. Number one, we have them spend an hour a day in the MLS, just going back 24 hours. So, and looking at, okay, everything that's hit the market for inactive, anything that's went pending, anything that's went, anything that's closed, anything that's been pulled off market. So canceled, expired, withdrawn. And we have them studying those for that hour, you know, studying the MLSs, you know, the MLS printout, studying the photos, studying the tax records. And look, I'll be honest. I mean, for the first 2 weeks of somebody that's brand new, that has zero real estate experience, that's going to feel like you're learning German. But then at about that 2 week mark, man, it really starts to click where very quickly, and especially after a month of doing that, first 30 days of doing that, you start to know exactly what the top neighborhoods are, most desired neighborhoods, what those features are, who the desired builders are, the desired school districts, the price per square foot things are selling at, right? So that's part one of this. The second part of this is we have them go drive a neighborhood each day. So spend another hour to 2 hours. You're going to go out there and drive this neighborhood, get to know all the parks, the local schools, the local businesses associated with that. And then go preview two vacant properties, or maybe it's, you know, two new build subdivisions inside that neighborhood where you're visiting those specs. And that does a couple things, you know, right? Like you get used to previewing properties, showing properties, using their lockbox key, but then also a big part of our business is something that we really push our agents to hammer hard is leveraging these amazing, you know, multi-billion dollar tools, platforms that we've been blessed with, the Facebooks and the Instagrams of the world, which we should all be leveraging the hell out of. It's all free and you can massively grow your business. So it starts getting them to create that content with those properties that they're viewing each and every day to let their, I look at them as social CRMs, man. This is my social CRM. I got my business CRM. Here's my social CRM. I'm communicating with my social CRM that, hey, I'm in the real estate industry.
The Neighborhood Realtor Podcast is proudly made possible by the support of our sponsors, Treadstone Funding and Neighborhood Loans, two amazing Midwest mortgage companies that now have offices all around the country. If you're a realtor and you'd like to learn more about connecting with one of our lenders, DM me at MattMuskie88 and I'll connect you with someone in your market. If you're a lender and you want to join the right mortgage company, DM me and I'll connect you as well. I love that. Well, a couple things there. So the first one is that the hour a day of studying the MLS, I think this one's huge because not a lot of people do it, but it gives you something to talk about, right? And it's actually not a monumental task, right? So in most areas of the country right now, there's not that many new listings hitting the market in a given month. So for you to say like, hey, I'm going to take the entire greater Phoenix area and look at every single property that hits the market every day, that's not going to be that many properties. Like at most, what is that like? Maybe there's like a couple thousand listings a month. So that's, you know, at most 20, 30 listings a day. And if you have any filters of like, maybe like you're not looking at vacant land, or maybe you're not looking at properties above, you know, $2 million or not under 100, there's a lot of ways to make this work. But then also when you're at a dinner party, when you're out in the community, when you're dropping your kids off at summer camp and someone tells you that they're looking at XYZ area, you can tell them definitively that you saw a property that hit the market that morning. It gives you something to talk about. And it's knowledge. I mean, there's so many reasons that that's an important skill set that not only new agents should be doing, but existing agents too. Because the big thing I see with existing agents is that you get busy and then you stop studying the market and then those opportunities dry up and then you're slow and you have to actually rely on all the annoying marketing like open houses and cold calling to get business back. Versus if you keep the ball rolling, if you keep with your strategies of studying the market every day, working with people, you have a much steadier business.
Yeah. Yeah. And for us, I mean, we're, you know, cause I mean, there's 30 some cities that make up the Phoenix metro area. So, you know, I have my agents pick and choose, you know, it's kind of divide up whether you're West Valley, East Valley, you know, it's like, you know, what are the primary markets that you're going to work, you know, and usually that's a list of like 3 to 4 cities. So it ends up even trickling down to less because that's where they're focusing, you know, whether it be their social media posts, their open houses, their YouTube videos that they're creating around. Cause it, you know, it could be hard to go out there and you know, have really niched down and have extreme market expertise into all 30 right. plus, you know, cities. But the other thing I always stress, and this is something we work with our new agents on right out of the gate too, is like, look, you don't need to know it all and you never will. I mean, I've been doing this 18 years, sold over 7,000 properties. Dude, there's crap that comes up all the time that's still new to me, you know? Because confidence is so crucial when it comes to sales. So many people just focus on the process. The process is one element. Then you got confidence. Then you got rapport. Then you got enthusiasm. Like, you can nail the process, but if you fall short on these other three, your sales conversions are going to be low. So then I'm like, okay, like, you know, we got to work on those. Well, a lot of new agents lack that confidence. And I'm like, look, all you got to have confidence is okay, number one, like again, you're not going to have all the answers. You never will. I still don't have all the answers all the time either. But we're resourceful, right? So just understand that you're with the right team. You have the right resources to go out there and be resourceful. And people are okay with, and they respect you sitting there saying, hey, I don't know the answer to that. And I don't want to guess and give you wrong information. So I'm going to go get that answer for you, and I'll call you back today at noon with that response. So people, they're totally cool with that. Nobody expects you to have all those answers right out of the gate. You know, then from there though, I'm like, all you got to do to have that confidence is number one, again, that you're with the right, you know, have the right resources at your disposal and that you're able to be resourceful. But then from there, okay, like, are you going to work your ass off for your clients? Everybody always says yes. Okay. You're going to work your ass off for your clients, right? Are you going to put your clients before commissions? And by that, I don't mean you got to be a discount or commissionectomies. I mean that, okay, if it's in your client's best interest to get out of this deal, and even though you need that deal to close to pay your own mortgage this month, like, you put your mortgage payment aside and you get your clients out of that deal because that's within their best interest. Like, you know, clients before commissions. And then, are you going to operate from high ethics and morals? Like, you do those three things, you're ahead of 90% of this industry. So you're already ahead of 90% of your competitors. Like, that's all you really need for confidence, you know? So, you know, just approaching that and just understand that, because I find that being a huge hangup for a lot of, you know, newer unseasoned agents.
Well, and too, like, I mean, it's the same thing as in, you know, when you're in school and you're a kid, the more you study, the more real estate related activities you do, and the more things that are in your calendar along those lines, the more confidence you will naturally have, because you know that you're not a poser in essence. Like, you put the work in and you're doing things that benefit you, but that also benefit your client. And that confidence you will build internally is absolutely huge. So, Josh, tell me, if someone wanted to get in contact with you, how could they reach out to you? What's the best way to get with you?
Yeah. So gsdmode.com is kind of the hub. You know, I've got a great podcast, GSD Mode. I've been doing it for 8 years, you know, several thousand interviews and tips and all of that on there. Everything on this, you guys, is free. I'm not here to try to pitch or sell anything. But on gsdmode.com, I've got my free ebook on there, which is 42 top tips and strategies walking you through, whether it be expireds or open houses or Facebook, and also follow-up scripts and, you know, a lot of just different top tips in there. You can snag that. And if you want to follow me on social, pretty much anywhere, at Joshua Smith GSD.
Awesome. Well, Josh, thank you so much for the tips today. Really appreciate your time, and I hope some people reach out.
Yeah, this has been an honor, my friend. Thank you, guys.